a jewel of the North States, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
This is the best of Radio Wasteland.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I am your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara. Kara,
hello.
Do you have any news for us this evening?
Yes, I do. So, for the first time, scientists have captured live video of a giant squid in its natural deep water habitat off of the coast of the Gulf of Mexico. Giant squids have been videoed in other countries, most notably in 2004 by a Japanese team, which caught the first ever glimpse of the reclusive creature, but they have never been spotted in U.S. waters before. I think we all know what this means. The squid are preparing for war. Robert Friend, a Tuskegee Airman in World War II and later director of Project Blue Book, has died at the age of 99. The Tuskegee Airmen were the first African-American fighter pilots, an exclusive program that won numerous honors for their performance against the Nazis in World War II. Project Blue Book, on the other hand, was the United States' first attempt to document and explain UFO sightings carried out in the late 1950s and early 1960s. Project Blue Book found no evidence of extraterrestrial vehicles and explained away most of the sightings. However, 701 UFO sightings investigated by Project Blue Book still have no official explanation, much to the glee of ufologists everywhere. His work is worth remembering in an era when the Navy is yet again investigating high-profile UFO sightings. And Amanda Large, the woman who married the 300-year-old ghost of a pirate last year, has announced her marriage is now over. Quote, I wish I never got married to him. I wish I was that healthy person that I was before I met him, she said. Apparently, the ghost had been draining her life energy and causing health problems. He was a pirate. What he did was steal when he was alive, she went on to say. Now he's stealing or draining energy. It kind of makes sense when you think about it. I can't believe it took me this long to figure it out. Large is reportedly considering an exorcism. That's all for this week. Back to you, Chauncey.
Is an exorcism like the equivalent of like an annulment? I like how she says, like, I wish I was like the healthy person that I was before I met him, as though it's really the relationship that like brought her down and that she was like, it's like.
Are you obliquely expressing skepticism of her relationship?
Yeah.
With. Yeah, well, okay, that's so fair, look at it, because this is pretty bonkers.
Look at it this way. Okay, so arguably, when my wife married me, I was a pirate.
Arguably?
Yeah, sure. I was a punk kid. I wore a lot of black. I was not exactly the most ethical. I was a pirate.
Were you capturing vessels at sea?
Close enough, you know. But this guy, he's still a pirate, like 300 years later. I mean, talk about like taking on a project to try to change a person, you know. What a bunch of BS.
You know, it's true.
And then, the Tuskegee Airmen, of course, that's awesome. I don't know, the Project Blue Book. Yeah, I'm getting burnt out on this, you know, getting a little burnt out on the ufology.
Well, I'm guessing this is a bad week for, you know, the UFO disclosure to happen because we're all going to be like, whatever.
Yeah, well, that's not that's not really what I mean. It's not the ufology that I'm over. What I'm over is this like the U.S. government has stuff and they're dangling it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm over the dangle.
Yeah. You want them to
de-dangle.
Flip the de-dangle?
De-dangle it. Yeah.
That sounds dirty. I don't know why.
Only because you're a filthy human being.
Clearly.
You know, I want them to like get it out there or like.
You want to flip the quiz over and look at the answers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Me too. Really. There's a lot of teasing and not a lot of.
Speaking of which, my first band when I was a kid, its name can't be mentioned. So we eventually changed the name to Pike. And Pike was named after our friend Jamie's third dad.
Okay.
And he was this awesome guy, but he has this story. He went to the DMV, and he took the test, but he's dyslexic, and he had to take the written test to get his license again. And he came out to Susan, and he's just, oh, I don't know, I just couldn't read a word of it. And, like, they bring it out, and they're just like, well, he failed, but he did get 6. And also, he took the Spanish side, you know, and he had, like, no idea that he took the Spanish side because he just thought he was, like, stressing with dyslexia. So, you know.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know, you know, space filler. Got to fill some time. What was the first?
The squid, yeah.
Awesome.
I think that's a good reminder every now and then that we share the planet with literal sea monsters.
Yeah, with Cthulhu and, you know, that it is just exactly. Really potentially terrifying down there.
Yeah. I mean, giant squid is low on the list of things that will kill you.
Well,
but
I don't know.
It is on the list.
Have you ever, I mean, I realize that it's unlikely that they're going to come over up here and capsize a boat. But, I mean, if you're down in their domain.
Well, if you're down in their domain, you're already dead.
You're like bite-size, aren't you, down there?
They're not that big.
They're pretty big.
They're very long.
Yeah, we're looking like 50-foot tentacle things.
Like low 40 feet at the absolute maximum.
At best, low 40
exactly.
feet. Yeah.
This particular specimen was estimated at 10 to 12 feet long.
Oh. Well, that's not too freaky, but that is pretty
weird. Well, that's still, I mean, if I was 10 to 12 feet long, people would be weird.
Terrified.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd be absolutely terrified. You'd be like Slenderman.
I think Slenderman is like 7 feet tall at most.
I mean,
so.
Would you like to be like Slenderman? You'd be Slender Lady?
Kind of.
I could see that you might.
Honestly, yeah, kind of.
You know. All right, so tonight's show is all about... my favorite topic, horror films, and specifically within my favorite topic, Kara's favorite topic, vampires.
Exactly. We kind of compromised to arrive at this episode.
Right. You know, eventually we'll hit something truly weird like demonic teen screamers. That's kind of one of my favorites. You ever seen a movie called Night of the Demons?
No.
There's a great old movie called Night of the Demon, which is like an awesome use of effects like back in the 50s, but... In 1990, maybe 92, though it totally looks like an 80s film, there's this movie called Night of the Demons. And you've never seen where the girl gets, like, possessed and demonic, but she's wearing the black wedding dress, and it's like a house party at Hull House.
I mean, I remember a scene vaguely like that from Beetlejuice, but I think it was played for comedy.
Yeah, it was. It was played for comedy. All right, so when we come back, we are going to try to get to the bottom of what the top 10 greatest vampire flicks of all time are right here on Radio Wasteland. So, you know, do that thing and come on back.
You The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
This is Shelley at Tobacco and Brew. Our Tobacco and Brew family would like to wish our local veterans and active duty service members a very happy holiday season. We have had the opportunity to meet many of you in person, and we appreciate the sacrifice that you have made and continue to make to safeguard our generations to come. Tobacco and Brew also wants to give a special thank you to the families and friends of our active duty service members as they are deployed away from home defending us. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas from Tobacco and Brew.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
This is the best of Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Karen and I, we're going to talk about the greatest vampire films of all time.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. How do you even start this? You know, there's a lot of different angles to come from. There's funny ones, there's sexy ones, there's scary ones. You know, frankly, I think a good angle to come from is there's not a lot of actually scary ones.
No.
There's not a lot of truly scary. There's something about a monster with culture.
Right. You know? Yeah, and those are kind of closer to the bottom of my list, the ones that are actually scary. But even... I don't know. I don't think there are a lot of vampire films that are scary in the way, like, It is scary or, like, you know, just a lot of horror films are scary. They're not really scary like that. They're scary in more of a, you know...
Well, you wouldn't know it today. They used to be scary.
Yeah.
If you go back and you watch Dracula, 1931, maybe 32, and you watch Hammer films,
you know, through the 60s and the 70s, those movies were actually intended to be scary.
Right.
But no, by today's standards, they're just all, what? Nobody was disemboweled? You know, nothing jumped out of
Why does that man have a pillow in the
right.
back of
They didn't
shirt.
Have the insidious clap, clap, come out of the darkness. You know, it's like, you know, the tropes have changed. So the fear is, like, no longer quite there. So they were, you know, horror films in general used to be a viable market that was taken seriously. I mean, it's still a serious market, but it was a serious art form in the beginning of film. You know, Dracula and Frankenstein were considered great films, and nothing campy or weird about them. You know, we can blame Ed Wood, I guess, for this.
You know, we can blame Ed Wood for a lot.
Right. Well, it seems like as soon as anybody likes something too much, they come in and ruin it. And maybe that's a good place to get started. Is that, you know, I think we can all agree that there's a line that shouldn't be crossed. And for the sake of argument, I would say Twilight is on the other side of that line.
Right. That's not on our top 10.
No, it's not. But we're saying, like, Twilight is just terrible because it's basically vampires with a culture, too much culture.
Sure. I would say Twilight is terrible because it's very poorly executed.
I would say it's terrible because it was a terrible story, and no matter how well you execute it, it's still just silly.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, okay.
It's badly written.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so...
You could probably make a good, like, teen vampire romance, but it's not that.
I'm going to say, so vampire culture, you know, I've always said that... Randy Travis was both, you know, a pinnacle success and the death of country music. And I'm going to say that Anne Rice is the same. So somewhere on my list is both Interview with a Vampire and Queen of the Damned, those two movies. Because that's like vampire culture to the fullest, but still really well done, well written.
Right.
You know, whether you like the story or the concept, it is definitely a well-fleshed out mythology. And I don't know, have you seen either of them?
I've read both of the books, and I've watched part of Interview with a Vampire. The problem with me is that I'd read the book, so I knew how it went, and the actual movie is, I found a little bit slow.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I know where this is going. I'm going to do something else with my time.
Right. Well, that tends to be the problem with movies based off of books is, you know, comics is a prime example where they're just all, how are we going to make this movie look like a comic? And
yeah.
Well, if you, nobody's coming to see a comic. They're coming to see a movie, you know, make a movie. And they kind of did that with Interview with the Vampire where it's supposed to have these sweeping epic landscapes and cover different times. And they were trying to explain all these different times a little too well.
So, is it fair for us to put Interview with a Vampire at our number 10 spot for tonight?
I think it's a contender. Yeah, I would put it in there.
We'll say number 10, Interview with a Vampire.
Now, I'm sure there's a lot of people that just guffawed to that, but unless you're sitting with a list of at least 10 better in front of you.
Right, yeah. So, when I was doing research for this, I'm like, I'm not sure there are 10 good vampire movies.
Oh, well, there are. You know, there's the, you know, I'm definitely going to hit some that you don't because I am, I am the nerd. I am definitely the horror film nerd and, just kind of watched everything. What do you got on there? Let's hear something you brought to the table.
So the number 9 on my list, for example, is The Lost Boys.
Oh yeah.
From the 80s.
Yeah.
Totally different thing. It's like, I mean, it's meant to be funny.
Right.
It's not remotely scary, at least.
It's meant to be 80s teen identifiable. And
yeah.
So if I had to pit that movie up against somebody for a ninth position, I would pit it up against Near Dark.
I have Near Dark at, where do I have it? I have it at 4, actually. Yeah, I really like Near Dark.
Yeah. Near Dark is great.
Near Dark is, I mean, the story of it, you know, Adrian Pastar gets bitten by a vampire, whatever, and he has to fall in with these very 80s vampire punk criminal types.
Right.
Like, whatever.
And they all got the sexy gypsy chick, you know. It's like the...
But the music and the cinematography and just the atmosphere...
Yeah. Way.
Is
way darker.
Very well done.
Yeah, the shoot-up scene with the yeah. with the light beams coming through and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so let's stick with the Lost Boys. I agree. There's no way that the Lost Boys can't be on this list because, at least for my age bracket.
I mean, you know, yeah, it's iconic.
Anybody out there that's within 10 years either way of my age basically is probably all, oh, yeah, the Lost Boys.
Okay. So, yeah, let's put that, you know, let's put that at number 9 provisionally.
That'll be provisionally at number 9. And okay. Here is, you know, I can't remember if I saw the end as a twist or not when it happened. When they finally unveiled who the main vamp was.
Sure.
Were you shocked, or do you
Let's
remember?
Let's not spoil this 40-year-old
movie. Well, no, we don't yeah, we don't have to say who it was, Max. But, you know, were you
I was surprised.
Were you? Okay, because I can't remember the surprise. It was so long ago.
Yeah.
But I am sold on nerdy kids working in a...
No, I watched that movie, like, in college, so it wasn't that long
ago. Yeah. And when I was a kid, I was always told that I looked like Corey Feldman. Until I got older, and then apparently I don't know.
Now the bottom half of your face is permanently obscured. So.
Right. Yes. Like, and it's also probably not good to be associated with Corey Feldman.
So true.
Because, you know, both of our careers are doing about the same, you know. floating in murky, murky water. All right. So, you know,
So we've got 10 and 9. We've got Interview with a Vampire, then The Lost Boys, two very different ones.
Right. Okay.
What's your thinking about number 8?
Well, somewhere in there is going to have to go the offshoot. The offshoot vampire flick. The flick that okay. that people just don't expect to happen because it is abstract. And I got two contenders for this one. I got a movie called Martin and a movie called Life Force. Have you seen
Never
either
heard
of, these
of either of these? No.
All right, I'll run them down for you. Life Force is basically an alien comes from outer space and sucks people's energies and wilts them away to nothing, and she looks like a vampire and has fangs and stuff. She's like the space vampire.
Space vampire, got it.
She's pretty much naked through the whole movie.
Okay.
And but I'm she's you know a sexy evil and but she's a little more like the original Dracula in the sense that like she gets him close with the sexiness, but in the end, she's gonna kill you. You know, she's not there to be your buddy.
Right.
She's not sad. She's not sad about things that she wants to tell you about her life. You know, she wants to suck your life powers. And then Martin, I have to say, it's going to be hard to put either of these on here because you haven't heard of it. But Martin did something that all of us had a conversation about at one point in our lives as vampire fans. Mm-hmm. But Martin actually made it. Martin is directed by George Romero.
Okay.
And it's this guy who is mentally ill and thinks he's a vampire, and he goes around with a syringe.
Okay, you've told me about this, but yeah. I haven't watched it.
All right, I'll tell the audience. He goes around with a syringe, sucking the blood out of people's necks because he thinks he's a vampire, and he's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not the only crazy one. There's also Martin, who believes that he's a vampire and believes that his job is to kill him because he is a vampire hunter. And so, basically, he is chasing this dude down and trying to stake him through the heart. And it is just absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. I think I just talked my way into it. If I'm allowed to force one onto the list, I think I'm going to have
okay.
to force Martin up.
I'm putting it at number 8 because I can't dignify putting it lower down.
Yes. No, no.
Without having seen it.
Yeah.
But.
Yes.
All right.
You know, it's definitely that era of film. You know, it's slow. It's
when was it made?
I want to say it was made shortly after Day of the Dead, but before Dawn of the Dead.
But, 1977.
77, all right.
Thank you.
Night of the Living Dead was 68, so somewhere in the vicinity of Day and Dawn of the Dead.
So for 7, I have something totally different from anything else we've mentioned.
What's that?
30 Days of Night.
Oh, 30 Days of Night. All right. We
Which
are
maybe should
up...
be lower down, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we're coming up on a commercial break, and 30 Days of Night, reinvigorated the genre, in my opinion. So come on back, talking vampire flicks. We'll be right back.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge, the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Autumn means cooler weather and a whole new to-do list for homeowners. Absolute Chimney and Duct Cleaning offers high-quality power cleanings with video inspection on all chimney, dryer vent, and duct cleanings. Absolute Chimney and Duct Cleaning provides professional high-end service at a mid-range price. And as we enter the holiday season, we would like to give a special thank you to our veterans and active duty military for your dedicated service. Call Absolute Chimney and Duct Cleaning at 921-4237. That's 921-4237.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
This is the best of Radio Wasteland.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we are talking about the greatest vampire films of all time. We're going to have to pick up the pace on this vampire train wreck. What number are we at?
We're at 7. We're talking about 30 Days of Night.
30 Days of Night.
Which I think is going to take the number 7 spot here, if it isn't lower down.
Oh, yeah, lower down, like closer to 1?
Yeah, like closer to 1.
It does. I mean, you got to ask the question, does a movie lose credibility because its sequel was terrible? You know?
I didn't know.
What do you think, Jared? Do you think a movie loses its magic because its sequel sucked?
I kind of do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like your brand, you know? Are you...
Well, yeah, like The Matrix, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know, because I still think The Matrix is, like, fantastic.
I love 2 and 3 of The Matrix. Have you gone back and seen the first one? It's kind of, eh.
Let's just move on.
All right.
Let's talk about 30 Days a Night.
I can't touch that. Okay, for one, I love the actor, the main vamp.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
No, I
don't know his name, but every time I see him in something, he has this sort of like a quiet, creepy, powerful thing going on, and it translated perfectly to a vampire.
Josh Hartnett.
No, he's the pretty boy. We're talking to
Danny Houston, Ben Foster.
Maybe Ben Foster.
I'm trying to keep up on IMDb with you guys.
Thank you. You're our fact checker.
There are a lot of just wonderful aesthetic decisions in that movie.
Once again, though, it's like Martin. They set out to answer a question that we all asked, like, well, if there really are vampires, why aren't they just snacking up in the Arctic the whole time? You know, where people are living, where there's 30 days of night.
The answer being... Yes.
They are. So for those listening who don't know, 30 Days of Night is about a group of vampires who descend on a town in Alaska for an entire month of darkness in order to eat them.
Right. As one does.
Like a lot of the best movies from the last 20 years, it's based on a comic book.
Yeah.
Or a graphic novel, whatever you want to call
it. It's kind of a zombie movie with vampires, in a way.
Yeah,
and so it's really different than most of the other things on our list. It's kind of a different genre, but I think it's genuinely scarier than most vampire movies.
I agree. It definitely tense. It kind of still had that action adventure sort of deal.
Yeah,
to it.
I mean,
you know, and if I had to pit that movie against a movie in a head to head, I'd put it up against Blade 2.
Blade 2. Yeah, you know. That makes sense.
Do you got that anywhere on your list there?
I don't have it on my list.
Yeah.
I probably should.
And I probably would have picked 30 Days of Night to beat out that sort of action-adventure, vampire flippy around, killing stuff, blowing stuff up to save the day kind of thing. But Blade 2, everybody who's maybe scoffing at the Blade factor there, Blade 2 was directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Exactly.
So you might think twice about that one.
It had some extra special creepy going on.
Extra special creepy, yeah. That's true. All right,
let's move on to number six. What do you want for the sixth one? It has to be slightly better than 30 Days of Night.
Well, unfortunately, there are other offshoot angles that you could hit here. You know, one that we know is going to be coming out of Jared here is What We Do in the Shadows.
That is actually my number six on my list.
And yeah, it, as a vampire film, I don't think it's allowed to be in the top five. You know, because of what
it's a parody
film is.
Right.
But
it's really funny.
It is really funny, you know. And, you know, they tried to make other funny ones. But this one's so recent to me that I just love it. I don't know if I can compete it up against other ones. Another truly hilarious one that I bet you're not going to have seen because it's older is Vampire's Kiss.
No.
With Nicolas Cage. And he thinks he's a vampire, and he buys wax teeth and lives under a sofa.
Okay, I've seen clips of it from, you know, your internet's Nicolas Cage freaking out compilations of Nicolas Cage running down the street yelling, "I'm a vampire."
I'm a vampire, yeah, and he got in trouble by the ASPCA. Is that the animal protection people?
I don't know.
Yeah.
PETA?
It was something more... A little less blood-throwy, but because he ate a cockroach in it. Ate a live cockroach in the movie.
With Paul Renfield on it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with What We Do in the Shadows because I think it's going to translate better to most people that watch them today. You
know? Though I do love me some Nicolas Cage. But...
And, yeah, I do too. Unfortunately, he's become like the movie version of being Rickrolled or whatever. He's like, just, it's over for him, you know? It's like, eh.
I don't know. I think they'll come back.
You think?
I think he'll come back.
As an old man, you know, whoever the next generation's Quentin Tarantino will breathe new life into his career.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're probably right, because there's always room for this next generation of people who love to B-movies to check him out.
Okay, so at number five, I have a Korean film called Thirst.
Okay, this, I was asking around in some chat rooms, I was basically saying, like, you know, what are some great movies, trying to remind me of some of these great movies.
This is a vampire movie that creeped me out.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
I haven't seen it.
Okay, well, that's only fair, since I haven't seen Martin.
All right, give me some rundown, though. Tell me about it.
Okay, so basically, a vaguely suicidal priest goes to...
So far, so good.
Sure. Right. Goes to Africa to basically, like, they're doing this experiment on faith healing where people get exposed to this incurable disease and invariably die. So he gets this incurable disease, but at the last minute he gets a blood transfusion, you know, when he's dying from it, because they're trying to save him. And it turns out that he got a whopping dose of vampire blood, and so this, you know, devout kind of melancholic priest begins his slow descent into evil and debauchery, and ends up wooing this underage girl and killing her abusive family, and it's basically just completely sick and twisted, and yeah, I love every little bit of it.
Yeah, it sounds like it has some twisted kind of old boy style. Did you see Old Boy?
No.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, God. That is... You see that one?
Yeah.
All right, you got to watch that one. All right, so we're down here in five, and yeah. I'm going to commit to Thirst as being five. I need to go home and watch it. I need to watch it.
I think it's mostly just the way that it's shot and directed.
Well,
it
a lot of
real
these
disturbing
Asian
imagery.
Films are just beautiful, and they really sort of get lost in Western culture. And you said it was Korean?
Korean, yeah.
Korean, man. Movie I love from them, The Host. The Host was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That movie was great. Okay, so we're now in four?
Yeah.
What okay, and we haven't hit any Hammer films, and I'm guessing that's because you haven't seen any.
Okay, hit me with a Hammer film.
All of them. They belong...
You can't do that.
You can, because they're all basically sequels of one another. Dracula, The Prince of Darkness, all of these star Christopher Lee is Dracula.
Okay.
And Peter Cushing as Van Helsing. And they were basically Hammer vampire films. All the way from those to Twins of Evil and stuff like that. You know, they were just a great mix of sexuality and being absolutely terrifying without being sexy teenagers. I can't handle sexy teenage movies. I'm, like, over it. I can't watch another movie where teenagers have, like, deep thoughts about stuff. I have three teenagers in my house, and no, they don't. You know,
yeah. That's...
I have three very profound, very intelligent teenagers, but they don't act like that. They just don't. I didn't act like that. They don't act like that. I don't know.
So I've just written down anything with Christopher Lee as Dracula and Peter Cushing as Van Helsing.
Yeah.
Does that about cover it?
That does. What did you have for number four?
What I had Near Dark for number four.
Oh, right.
Which we already talked about.
Right.
But and if we've got the Lost Boys in there, we don't necessarily need
them. And Near Dark does deserve to be in there, though, because it was that low-budget beauty. All right, so where are we at for number...
So we'll put Near Dark in there at number three.
Honorable mention.
Or honorable mention. Sounds good. So we're at number three.
All right, what do you got for number three?
I have Afflicted, which I'm including not because it's, like, a great vampire film, but because I really like it. It's very recent. It's 2014. It's a fairly low-budget, found-footage Canadian film of a guy and his friend who are doing, like, this stereotypical sort of trip around the world and film it, and one of the guys gets bitten by a vampire, and it goes just completely off the rails. So it's a vampire movie plus Blair Witch, but just very well done.
All right, we're going to have to figure this out. On the other side of the break, you're listening to the best vampire flicks at this given moment in our given brains here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Through your soul, losing faith.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your personal protection tip of the day. Use technology to reinforce your home and make it undesirable for criminals. The use of alarms, cameras, lights, and reinforced door and window locks may go a long way towards helping a would-be thief make a better decision. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find a register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to ReadingCivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to ReadingCivic.com to learn more.
This is the best of Radio Wasteland.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We're talking about the best vampire flicks of all time in our given brains at this given moment. As a fan, I mean, I have to clarify that. I mean, it's like if somebody asks you, like, hey, what's your favorite song? You're all, well, I mean, at this moment, it might be one thing, but, you know, if my wife breaks up with me tomorrow, it's going to be In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel. You know, it's probably going to be something by Ja Rule. You know, I dated this girl in high school, and I hated Morrissey. And then when we broke up, I'm just, well, I love Morrissey because I miss her. You know, it's like things have a way of working. So when my wife and I get a divorce someday, I'm going to be like crying to Ja Rule. It's going to be sad.
I just learned so much about you.
I know. Yeah. And about Terry.
And about Morrissey.
Oh, all right. So we're
down to the top three.
We're down to the top three, and we disagree. We discussed these, and we agree on one. One is definitely my number three. Two of yours
are just pretty obscure things that you haven't seen. And I don't know if I would include them in the top three just because I don't know that they've, like, stood the test of time,
right,
really, because they are so obscure.
Right.
But they're also my favorites.
So why don't you
forget them.
Why don't you give our audience your final three?
Okay, my final three are Afflicted, which I was talking about last segment, found footage Canadian film about a guy who gets bitten by a vampire. The Addiction with Christopher Walken and Lily Taylor. It, grad student gets bitten by a vampire and ruminates on the nature of evil whilst spreading the vampire plague to everyone in the city, basically.
Right.
And my number one, Let the Right One In. The Swedish version definitely basically bullied vampire 12-year-old, or bullied 12-year-old meets vampire 12-year-old who moves in this building next door.
Right.
But it's terrifying. I don't think there's any other vampire film that captures just how dark and cold and depressing it is to live in Sweden. Oh, or, yeah. Well, that too.
Speaking of which, season two of Dark just came out.
Yeah, and that's Germany, so yeah, this is even worse. Yeah.
All right, so for me, number three is Let the Right One In.
Okay, that's fair. But your top two better be real good.
My top two are going to show exactly how nerdy I am, because they are the most obvious.
Okay, well, I'm putting Let the Right One In at number three, even though it pains me, because I love it.
Number three for me is going to be Nosferatu, the original silent film, Max Schreck,
okay.
Nosferatu. You know,
all right. Well, just, I guess that deserves to be on our
list. Some of it
list.
Has to come from the part of what I enjoy about stuff is sort of the history of it. And, you know, the history of Nosferatu is just undeniable. And its influence is just undeniable, you know. And then my number one is Dracula.
But we did Dracula with Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing. Which Dracula is this?
Bela Lugosi.
Okay.
Universal Monsters, Bela
right.
Lugosi. I mean,
I don't suppose I can argue with that. That checks
well, I,
out.
I mean, you can. You know, I mean, it's not like this list is going up on any sort of like, you know, AFI does not care about what our list of greatest stuff is. Oh.
I just want them to notice me.
I just want them to notice me, yeah. But we had discussed this before about, like, cultural impact, you know, is that
right.
going to come in?
And you're definitely coming at it from more of that angle because you care about horror movies.
I do. To me, they are an art form, and, like, you can't love what came next without appreciating what came before it. I feel the same way about music, you know.
Sure.
I just so those are
and I'm
ones.
Just here
we're
like
gonna, we're gonna
I
have
like
to maybe,
this film,
but I well I mean there's nothing wrong with that actually. Ultimately, that's what most people are. You know, mm-hmm. It's like a lot of people, all you scenesters out there and hipsters, which I happen to be one of you. I should be your god. is that you know we all think that
I guess that ain't humble juice that you're drinking.
Though. I'm your hipster god. Yeah. you know we. We like to think, I would have this discussion with people about being a musician, and I would sure. play a show, and people would just be like, it's so awesome that you could do that, I wish I could play something. You know, and I'm just all, you know, I really do enjoy doing this, but there would be nobody to play to if we all did it. You know, there has to be fans. I mean, when people create something, they're creating it for fans. They're not creating it so other guitarists can be amazed at their guitar skills, or everything would sound like Yngwie Malmsteen or Joe Satriani or terrible. It would all sound just terrible. It would all sound like a 20-minute Van Halen solo. You know, it's like you have to write songs for fans, you know, and fans are not necessarily musicians.
True.
So, I mean, that is ultimately where the importance lies. So nerds like me are not necessarily
well,
the end all.
I mean, I chose, like, literally an art house film for one of my bottom three, so I don't know if I'm the best candidate for individual fans, but...
Yeah, I guess that's true. I haven't seen...
I feel like you need either. To watch Afflicted, and you need to watch The Addiction, and you need to get back to me about the relative merits. Although I will say The Addiction, not for everyone.
Which one's the one from 95? Because I'm surprised I haven't seen that. I'm surprised I haven't seen it. It has Christopher Walken in it. It has Lily Taylor in it. It has people I know in it. I'm surprised I haven't seen it.
Yeah, that's The Addiction.
Yeah, all right.
And probably the reason it's not well known is because every line of dialogue sounds like it was taken from a dissertation.
Oh.
So, it's one of those kinds of movies.
It's like that movie Incubus that was made in Esperanto. Have you ever heard of this? They actually made a movie in Esperanto.
I don't mean that it's hard to understand. It's perfectly easy to understand, assuming you're familiar with every philosopher from 1923 to now. But
I would put that in the category of hard to understand. Hard to stomach, you know.
Definitely hard to stomach.
All right.
But
maybe you're the hipster god.
I'm not the hipster god. I'm like the hipster, I don't know, trickster figure in the mythos.
I see.
But the reason I like it is because it's the only vampire movie I know of where when a vampire takes a bite out of someone's neck, it actually looks like they're taking a bite out of someone's
like
neck.
Like they're ripping it out of there.
Yeah, exactly. It's
30 Days of Night, we're definitely...
30 Days of Night had that, but it was sort of over-the-top action-y.
Right.
This isn't that. This is just like quiet art house film and, oh, dear God, that person just got their larynx ripped out with someone's canines. And
all right.
That's perfect.
So we just can't agree on the final ones. But dishonorable mention we have to throw in. You know, Twilight, of course, dishonorable mention.
Sure.
Underworld is definitely in the dishonorable mention.
I liked the first.
There's something about the outfits. I know it sucked you in. You're all, ooh, this is like The Matrix. And then you're all, this is not like The Matrix at all. This is terrible, you know.
It wasn't good.
But, I mean, they're sucking you in with sexy people, but, I mean,
Kate Beckinsale in a leather jacket, you know, being all
I feel
vampire-y and shooting people.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. All right. You are listening to Radio Wasteland, and we were talking about the best vampire flicks of all time. You totally disagree with us? You think we're totally stupid? Well,
keep it to yourself.
That was not planned, right? On, Kara. I'm proud of you. All right, so check us out next week. This is Radio Wasteland.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.